And what's really good about it, here is one of the places where it brought tens of thousands of people into the street. First, I wanted to thank Jeff Mackler and for pulling this together, and because what he realized is that we need funds. In order to continue this part of the battle for Mumia's life, and we've got to be in the street, we have to have posters everywhere, we have got to travel. So Jeff called me and said he was going to put a fundraiser together to help us do just that. And this is this fundraiser. Now, we got something we need to shout about. And everything that Judah said is magnificent and it's wonderful. And but the only way that we can bring Mumia home is that with what Judith had brought out and what we do best, we stomp this sucker into the ground. It was this entire government, whose desire is to execute Mumia. And they were so sure that they was going to be able to do it. Whenever we would have events like Rage Against the Machine, Chumbawamba, Black Star, which is Most Deaf, and you know some other people put together an event in Jersey for Mumia, and the Fraternal Order Police, the governor of Jersey, and lawyers and judges, they all got on, they had microphonic seizures, they got on the air and was announcing that, you know, if anyone, the Fraternal Order Police and the state troopers said we were not with any service that day, and they was on a campaign, a high campaign. Every news media, Howard Stern had it on there, but the power of the people, there was a stadium that said 60,000 people. Rage Against the Machine sold that stadium out in one day. No tickets left. The Fraternal Order of Police now and the judges got together and they lied again. They said that people were turning in tickets and there was over 300 tickets that was turned in already, right? And what happened, we had a concert on the inside and on the outside. 300 tickets, and you can sell 60,000 seats in a day. And also, you can imagine what happened when they said they had 300. There was a huge concert on the outside because the 300 wasn't true. And but I say that to say it was the people. The people. Mumia's death warrant, we was able to beat it back and against the odds. People were saying, you'll never be able to do that. But again, ain't no power like the power of the people when the power of the people don't stop. You would think they understood that. But no, Mumia comes off of death row and then he turns around. Not long after Mumia got off of death row, Mumia hadn't been sick other than a cold in the 30-something years that he spent on death row. When he got off, it was about a year later, Mumia was diagnosed. He started getting sick, and then he was diagnosed with hepatitis C. The hepatitis C pill was $1,000 a pill. You had to take it for 90 days, so you're talking about $90,000. Again, ain't no power like the power of the people when the power of the people don't stop. You had the people saying, oh no, he'll never get that, he'll never get it. But here in California, in France, in Germany, in Africa, all around, people rose to it because they understood what they couldn't kill Mumia legally on death row. And so they turned around and started this medical thing. Mumia had to give up blood when he came off of death row into general population. All of a sudden, Mumia has hepatitis C. And it was so horrible. Mumia's ear was coming off his face. His skin was completely covered with this black substance that was all over it. And he went into almost a diabetic coma. And Mumia Darnia died 3 times. But you know one thing I want to talk about real fast? Tell me my timing. so I can work it in here.
You have 8 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. The brothers inside the prison. People hear stories about men inside the prisons always, that they're fighting, they're doing this, they're doing that. But inmates inside that prison, I learned about the love and the caring, the fathering and the mothering that goes on inside that prison. Because in order for Mumia to live, someone had to step up to this government inside the prison. We didn't know what was going on inside there at this particular time. But a brother named Major Tiller saw Mumia. Mumia's neck was this big, his head was huge, this body, his fingers would look like Fred Flintstone fingers. He couldn't fit his feet into a pair of shoes, body was just tore up from him scratching, because he scratched 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, nonstop. He wasn't sleeping. This brother saw the prison warden come through, and he said, "Yo, you got to do something about Mumia." The prison head warden, told him, "Step back, Mumia's not your business." He said, "Mumia is my business." So it started. It started men, moving on the prison institute about Mumia. Mumia, the following day, wound up in the hospital. That's when we found out that he was almost dying at that particular point. But the point here is that it was another brother, because when the medication they was giving Mumia really wasn't doing him any good. He had not had the hepatitis C shot yet. They told Mumia with these scales, like fish scales, that was black and thick all over his body, that what you do, you don't wash them. You're getting some warm water and you pat them. Another brother that was inside the prison, that even the guards wanted to help them out when they were sick with massages. This brother had magical hands. He looked at Mumia. Mumia was in a wheelchair, head down, couldn't move. The brother said, "Yo, look, you got to get up from there." And he picked Mumia up and he started walking. Mumia said, "He helped me like he held a baby." Started him walking. And walking until Mumia can walk through. The scales on Mumia's body, he said, "I'm gonna put you in a tub of hot water." He says, "And I'm gonna scrub them off." Mumia said, "No." The doctor said, he said, "But I'm telling you." Anyway, the brother saved Mumia's life. Two brothers inside the prison who cared and went up against the administration. We must always talk about the loving and the caring that goes on inside these prisons as well. And these brothers, they not only do that for Mumia, they do it for each other. But anyway, we wound up winning that battle. We wound up going to court, and with all the people saying, "Well, y'all got him off of death row, and that was pure luck." Bullshit. Excuse me, church. That was people power. And we can never say that it was anything other than that. The power, the people working with the lawyers, everybody pulling together. And there are differences in the movements. But when it came to Mumia, all them differences is shoved to the side, and people came together and did what was necessary to get Mumia that hepatitis C medicine. The cure, not the maybe cure, but the cure is what they was trying to keep from Mumia. And because we did that, Mumia got the hepatitis C, and every inmate inside the prison who found out about the court case that we won the battle for, and it was another judge. This was this judge in Scranton. When we went in Scranton, Scranton is known as Ku Klux Klan territory. When we went up there, we act just like we was in Philadelphia. We did the dang with them, and for the lack of the other word. But what we found out when we went there was white people was coming over to the microphone with us talking about their families with hepatitis C how they were suffering, how they suffered inside the prisons and things. People were shocked. I was not shocked because in traveling around and even going up to the prison, when Minister Louis Farrakhan went up to the prison to visit Mumia, and the white guards were saying, this man shoots from the hip. He's telling the truth. And also I'm saying, you know, you have to dispel about a myth. You got to go into places that you've never been before to find out what's going on there. So that support was there. Mumia wound up getting a hepatitis C because the governor, the prisons, we were up there on a weekly basis. And Charles O'Neill from Tanzania came over and demonstrated with us outside the prison. Outside, inside, where they have the big administration building. We was there at Camp Hill, the governor's office, the governor's mansion, and the best place to be was in Center City where he lived, where his office was at the Bellevue. He was very seldom there, but it was in a key place. And Center City, they're building all new hotels and things there. So we go there, we set up. You only need for 4 or 5 people to go out there, hold the signs, and start kicking off about hepatitis C. What we found out about hepatitis C was 7,000 people in the state of Pennsylvania who had hepatitis C. By wanting to do more and know more about it and pulling people in, we went to the Board of Health. What do you know about hepatitis C? Well, they told us it was 46,000 people in the city, not the state, the city of Philadelphia. They said hepatitis C is an epidemic. And we also went to the AIDS clinics to find out what they knew. So we all pulled in together, the Philadelphia Board of Health, and before they pulled them back, and the AIDS clinic and everybody else. And we was having massive demonstrations because the right place to be was not in Harrisburg, where there's all where the governor's at, and where all their people was at. You go there and you talk to the people there, and then they're like, okay, thank you for coming. No, you gotta raise pure cane. And when we would come in front of the governor's office in Philadelphia, the Bellevue Stratford, they would shut it down. They just had to go into the back door. And so that went on 4 minutes. And long enough, and then what we wound up doing, they wound up kicking the governor out the office. The governor wound up saying that people in Philadelphia can get, you know, the hepatitis C cure and in the prison. That was consistent. When people tell you what you can't do, that's how a lot of people lose, because they believe them. Because it's in the interest of this government and to make us think that we can't do. But one thing we do know, again, the people united can never be defeated. Will never be defeated. So right now, that goes to show Mumia's life and the life of other prisoners is not in the hands of these misfits. It is in our hands. And because it was here that shut down the entire West Coast for Mumia, was felt it around the world. It was here that the people demonstrated. It was here that Angela Davis was arrested. And I want to say something about my sisters and brothers up here. And they ain't no part-time revolutionaries. They're not people who talk that talk but don't walk that walk. They have gone to jail. They have gone around the world letting people know what is going on. Right now, in 2 minutes, what I gotta say is we gotta organize like we never organized before. My hair, when I first started this, was jet black or dark brown. It's gray. All of us. And of the one thing about us, we understand that this isn't just about Mumia. This is about each and every last one of us. Mumia is the one who brings attention to the millions. Because of Mumia, a lot of people are getting hepatitis C cured. A lot of mothers, fathers, and children are able to hold their loved ones, even if it's in prison, because so many of them was dying. prison. And all, but now there's that hope. There's that hope with the Williams case that wasn't there before, because it has gone to the point where people around the world know, and Mr. Krasner, I don't care where he go at, we're there. We're there. And with Judge Tucker, when he made his first decision, the D.A. Krasner did like the Attorney General did for 45, lied and said that, you know, oh, you know, and he's boasting around about how, you know, he was exonerated. Well, Krasner was damn near the same way. Until the judge, Judge Tucker, a black Republican judge, all of us was like, we could not believe this. He stood up then, and when Krasner started lying, this man took a position, planted his feet down on the ground, told him what a liar he was, told him how he was manipulating the people. This is in the paper last week. So we have the DA who was caught outright lying. And the thing is, Mumia is not doing well, I gotta tell you this. And his skin still itch, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Mumia is putting 4 jars of Vaseline on his entire body, not missing a crack anywhere, time. But I'm saying this, he now has glaucoma, but he's still working and working his butt off. And with the itching and the pain and stuff that he's going through, his brother is on the verge of dying right now. He lost a child. I'm saying all these things that we go through, he's going through. But I don't think anybody got this problem that he had. But we got to rise up. The things that we did, that we put 10,000 people in the street, and that was the young, it was the old, it was, you know, all of us. And we got to do it again. And we can do it again. And we have been showing these people over and over again that we will not sit by, but our timing, because when they talking about appeal after appeal, we're saying release Mumia. Releasing now based on police, judicial, and prosecutorial misconduct. That's not if and or maybe this is what we want. It's factual. The judge said it. The judge said it. So what I'm saying is, when we leave here tonight, we got to do what is necessary. We got to bring all those rap groups, those entertainers, those poets, the people in the street getting to the churches like we did today. I am so sorry, Jeff. I'm going over time. But rise up, everybody. Let's get ready to do some work. Let's tear this sucker down. We are not without